Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Clever DJ, episode number 15. Mm-hmm. My name is Ilya.
And my name is Nino.
What do we have today, Nino?
Well, today we have a cool topic. We're going to talk about all the ways you can make money as a DJ.
All right.
So,
let's start out. Actually, you read it out. Wrote this.
So, number one, you can rent out your gear. Now, of course, you're going to prioritize not renting out your gear when you have gigs, right? But on the off days, you can rent them out for a good amount, especially if you have a company and stuff. It's a good way to make like income, right? To make extra money. Mm-hmm. Like you can actually
already own all of it. Might as well, right? If you have a good system to make sure that nothing gets damaged in the process.
That's the only thing, right?
It could happen,
but usually you want to have contracts too with that kind of stuff.
Otherwise, it's not very safe giving it away, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So renting out your gear, you can actually open a company as well, just renting out gear as well. Like Long & McQuaid, right? They made a killing off of just renting out gear.
And their products are just, I don't want to say they never break, but it takes a lot to damage their products. So the way they built their speakers, especially
Yorkville,
the Yorkville line, that stuff is just meant to last. Yeah. So it's good for them too, because it rarely breaks. And if it does, then it's easier for them to fix. It's right on the spot. And
yeah, that's amazing. So that's renting out your gear is number one. Number two is selling your skills and talent as a DJ. So basically, like, you can teach, right? Use your skills. You can teach one-on-one lessons. You can teach group lessons, online one-on-one classes, live sessions.
Courses.
You can make courses. Yeah, exactly.
My God, those courses. So I'm also a producer and, just as a hobby. But, I can start and finish a song. And I took a course a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago. I took a course 3 years ago, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked how many of those, how many people registered for that course and how many times that deal runs a year. Because whenever you see, we have this featured course, you should all subscribe. It's starting soon. The registration is going to close soon. It's not going to be the only time they're doing this.
No.
Almost always. There's always another session for it. So every 2 to 3 months, they do it.
Yeah, and that's a way to grab customers as well, right?
Each course, that course cost, I think, I forget how much Canadian, I think around $400 or $500. And there were like at least 50 people who registered. Can you imagine 50 people, approximately 40 to 50, even 30 people every time, every 2 months?
Yeah.
And that's one of his courses.
There's more.
That's just one. He has like, I don't know, a dozen.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just, of course, there's some work. Like you have to market it. There's, it's not passive income where you just don't do anything. But if you have a team, it's kind of, you set everything up. It's automated, right? Somebody you should oversee it, but it's one of the best ways to make money.
Yeah. So that was production, right? But you've also bought DJ courses,
yes,
as well,
and
right?
My God, are they expensive sometimes, especially if you want to have everything. Like I went, let's talk about digital DJ tips and Crossfader. Mm. They have great courses out there.
Yeah.
Some of them, I wouldn't get, but most of them I would. And I just recently purchased a couple from each of them, and they're very, very, very good courses, and I got them on sale, but I would also pay the full price. If I had no choice and I needed to know that information, I would.
Yeah, right.
And everything, they're all about selling courses, mm-hmm. right? They have a podcast too. They have like streaming, they stream digital DJ tips, they stream, and Crossfader have a podcast, but still, their whole thing is courses. Like it's a school.
That's their main business.
Yeah. Right? These are just the two that I usually go to, right? These are my go-to, but there's so many others who sell this stuff. There's what's his name? Phil Harris.
Phil Harris, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
There's just every, you can find so many of them when you're into this. The Australian guy.
I don't know his name.
He's a nice guy. I really like his energy. Becoming a club DJ, I think, in 4 weeks. I got that course too. And every course taught me something from a different perspective. I love learning. Mm-hmm. And I love learning from different people. And, you know, some of them really contradict on how you're supposed to do something. But then that's DJing. There's no one way to do
some
something.
Some of them are very similar in the teachings.
I even went on Udemy and I got one from there. It was pretty cheap.
Did you buy it too?
Yeah. I showed it to you. So I always love to learn. And I also purchase those courses to give myself some inspiration. So when I'm ready to do a course, I know how to layer it, how to, you know, categorize everything.
Yeah.
So that's courses. That's pretty much selling your skills and talent. That's a couple of the ways you can do that. Number three,
organize your own parties. And that's something that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Right?
We're actually doing that. We're in the process of just organizing a big party. And it's going to be a really cool event. It's an EDM event in our city. And there's lots of moving pieces there, but if you feel like you are able to do that, lots of money in it.
There is.
If you do it right, there's risk, a lot of risk, but where there's a lot of risk, usually there's a lot of reward.
Yeah, man, what I appreciate about you, you very good business and PR.
Thank you.
It's good, man, and it helps propel our business forward.
Yeah,
it helps a lot.
Yeah, so what we do is I really, everything started with me working with Nino, for Nino, under his brand that, you know, has been there for many years. And then I kind of separated and did my own thing. And then we started stuff that's together, that's both of our brands. And whatever we do, it propels everything forward.
It helps everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a nice partnership. So yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
No problem, man. So organizing parties is great. And it also, at the same time, you can also put yourself and DJ for those parties as well. What we're doing, we're getting other DJs to DJ for us. So
yes, because in this case, you want a certain lineup, a certain roster, right? And I know who is the right person, or at least I hope I do. I have a sense for it. Mm-hmm. I spoke to people. I know who is going to be the best to open it, to kind of pick it up right before the headliner shows up and gets behind the DJ booth, and then who's going to just finish that event.
We'll see, man. It's exciting.
It's going to be lots of fun.
To see how it turns out, right? So it's a win-win no matter what.
Yeah, everyone's getting recognition. Everyone's getting a bunch of media to like support themselves. Everyone's getting paid, obviously. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get paid. And that's the thing. When you organize it, there's the risk of...
of not making...
fumbling it. Like you didn't sell enough tickets or...
we can break even. That's a reality.
Again, you don't go into something like this unless you have some business experience and unless you really know like the right contact. So in our case... we know we're going to do well. How well are we going to do? You find out with each gig and
we'll see.
You build kind of a projection. But it's going to be a fun event. More about it, more on it later. We can actually make an episode.
We're talking about it. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Number four. Number four. Yeah,
now,
number
the
four.
Obvious one is being a mobile or wedding DJ, right? And that's what we're primarily doing. For my company, we do everything, right? And it helps. It's like pretty much my full time, and I have guys that work under me, and I send them out to gigs. I get to pick and choose what I want to do, and it's good money. It's good money if you know how to handle it,
right? Yes. It's great to be an EDM DJ, like an underground DJ who just kind of never does weddings and corporates and those like big venue events. But the most you make, really, the most you make as a not very popular, you know, very sought after DJ is like $350 Canadian, $450, $500 if you're lucky.
As a local.
Yeah, as a local DJ. As a, you know, like someone who's likely watching this podcast right now, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's what you'll make. Now, if you are local still, but you're, you know, resident DJ at a very big club and everyone knows you, okay, you'll make more.
You can command $500 to $800,000.
Yeah, maybe more if you know that they really need you and they want you, but... Again, how much do you make? Like, what's a wedding standard? Like,
1,500, 2,000 right now is my middle package right now. Yeah. So 2,000. Yeah,
and you could go higher.
It all depends on details, like how far it is, what they want in the package and stuff. So it goes up from
there. You have those packages where it's like $3,500.
Yeah.
Right? $4,000. You have those. I've seen multiple of those events in 1 month, actually. You had several of those.
Yeah.
Right? It depends what they want.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about you is that you don't just upsell. You love your clients. You make sure you give them what they need.
Yes, you got to make sure that they're happy at the end of the day, right? That you provide the experience that they want, right? So that's what I do. I make sure that we go above and beyond what we're supposed to, right?
So yeah, being a mobile DJ, being a wedding DJ is definitely something profitable, but it's a lot of work.
Not everybody can do it as well. You know, some DJs want to be just a club, clubs, right? And understandable, they want to have fun that way, right? So
if you don't like maybe the type of music you'd play at the wedding, right?
Because it's a lot of variety as well. It's a little harder. I think, honestly, being a wedding DJ, a mobile DJ, is harder than just being a club DJ and just focusing on one or two genres, right?
Yeah,
you have to learn everything. You have to be good at everything.
Honestly, I am still puzzled when it comes to that question, like what's tougher? Because I'm learning both. Mm-hmm. And I find some things that are really tough when it comes to EDM to understand and to do correctly. Because EDM, I feel like there's a lot of room for just getting it done.
Yeah.
But we all know that with the correct phrasing, with the correct execution, there's the one part or two, three parts in the track that's exactly where it should have happened. That's exactly where you should have transitioned or that effect should come in. But the thing is, if you don't do it there, it still can work. With open format, what I learned is that there's not that much room for mistake.
Yeah.
That's my personal experience right now. That's what I'm seeing. You know, lots of vocals, like lyrics, you know, like, yeah.
You need a lot of skill to do open format.
It's very quick.
Very quick.
Like, some transitions are like 2 seconds long. Like,
yes. Depending on the actual edit that you have.
Or you got to drop it.
Drop it on the one.
And then it starts right away.
Yeah.
Right. You got to count like really quickly. And it's not even counting. It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually actively count anymore, right? I still do.
Yeah. Well.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is. So being a mobile DJ and wedding DJ do pay.
Number five, sponsorship and endorsement. So a very good way to make money from your business as a DJ, whether it's you're a mobile DJ or let's say you have an event or you have a podcast, it's to get sponsored by certain companies or endorse their products, which is also, they'll pay you for it. So... that is one of the best ways to go about making money. But at the same time, you have to know which brand you want to be sponsored by, which brand you want to endorse. Because
it has to make sense.
If you just go for someone just because of the money, people will ask, why?
Why? I
mean, you don't even stand by that product.
Exactly.
So why are you doing this? We saw certain people on YouTube and they're like, you know what? I stand by this drink, I stand by this water, I stand by because I believe in that brand. And that's why when they reached out to them, they said, you know what? I really do see that you like our products. Let's work together.
Yeah. So when you make a name for yourself, you create content online, you have a YouTube channel or stuff like that, you can get, usually companies will reach out to you and want to sponsor you or give you gear, not necessarily monetarily, but they can do it in other ways as well.
For example, like let's say you have a YouTube channel and this new controller just came out and it's like $5,000 and you either don't have the money for it or you don't even have the access to obtain that piece of equipment because it's too new, what they'll do is they'll save you the time on trying to find it or even give you access to it before anyone else has access to it. Or they and they'll save you the money that it will cost because you're not paying for it. And a lot of the time, they don't let you keep it. You use it and...
You use it for a while on the job and then you send it back like a month after. That's usually how what happens, right? Yeah. But you get the first look, first feel of new equipment.
And they'll have certain conditions of what you can say, what you can't say, how they want you to speak about the product. Sometimes they'll just, you know, trust you. You have a certain kind of like agreement where you know what to do.
NDAs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to stick to.
You got there are certain things because this product is new and you can't mess up their marketing. So yeah, there's certain things you can do or can show or not show. So you got to really be careful with that as well. So that's number five. Yes. Number six, selling downloads. Is that what you wrote?
Yeah. Selling downloads. Okay. Now, if you're a producer, a lot of times DJing and producing goes hand in hand, right? So if you make remixes, bootlegs and stuff, right? You can actually sell it to people. If people reach out to you and say, yo, this remix is fire. Where can I get a hand on it, right? Where can I get to download it? And then you can sell it to them, literally.
Yeah. If you're a producer and you have original music, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of DJs become DJs because they have to showcase their music.
Yes.
A lot of DJs become producers because they want to stand out and be more unique. And it's a better way to to kind of get into this market because there are so many DJs out there. You got to be different.
You got to
be unique, right?
Yeah. That's very true.
So these are some ways by selling music, your music, remixes, bootlegs. You can sell them to
record pools.
Record pools, yeah. And there's just so many ways to make money from that. And it's a respectful way of doing so.
Yep.
Number seven, physical merchandise. So merch.
Merch. Now, if you do have like a name, it'll be easier to sell. Like, let's say, Nick Spinelli. T-shirts, right?
Yeah, CDs, mugs,
anything that you can slap your name on it. Erasers. Yeah, literally anything, right? So that's another form of way of making money.
Number eight, corporate events.
Yes, I think
very good way to make money.
Yeah, a lot of corporate events are great way to make money, especially because they have budgets. Like corporate companies have budgets for DJs and entertainment in general, right? At the end of the year, they need to spend a certain amount of money to write things off. So a lot of the entertainment and a lot of times you can charge a lot of money.
Normally, with some experience, you'll know how much each company can usually afford. And you can kind of like almost snipe that, like, you know, like a snipe shot of like the best offer you can give them. So, you know, you're not going to lose them and they're not going to keep searching. And at the same time, you did not sell yourself too short.
Yeah.
And what's great about those is they're usually recurring. There's usually at least one or two every year.
Always. Yeah.
Sometimes it's once a month. It depends what kind of corporate event you got.
Yeah.
So these are a very, great type of client to obtain. Some people are just like mainly corporate DJs,
DJs, like they do like store events, like openings and stuff like that, right?
You used to do those.
Yeah.
So that's just a great way to make money. That's a very good one for the list. Number nine, streaming.
Yeah. So especially the last couple of years with COVID and stuff, streaming has become very, very popular. For a lot of DJs, it was their only way of making money because they couldn't go out and actually do gigs. So Twitch streaming was really big a couple of years ago, and actually still is.
Yeah, right, it became now a thing now.
It is a thing. Yeah, a lot of people like to listen to DJs at the comfort of their own home.
Yeah, whether it's like Facebook streaming, YouTube, Twitch is obviously a more like obvious platform for it. Instagram, right? Lots of Instagram lives.
Yeah, yeah, lots of Instagram lives, tons. And we can actually bundle YouTube into this too. It's the same kind of world.
All the social media, really.
All the social media. Like YouTube is AdSense, right? And you can make money off of companies promoting their stuff in between your videos.
Yes.
So yeah, another way to make money. Great, great way.
Number 10, radio work.
Yes.
Radio DJs.
Radio DJs. So it's pretty much it's obvious, right? Working for radio stations. A lot of celebrities get into, celebrity DJs get into radio work because they're more like known. And
the radio station actually wants them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
To DJ for them because it's good for ratings and stuff, right?
Really good for ratings. So it's another way of another avenue of making money, radio work.
Yeah, and there's other stuff that DJs do in radio, which is not exactly just spinning. I forget what it's called. I really wish I remembered. A friend of mine worked at a radio company, at a radio station, and there's a name for that position, where she was doing all the vocals, you know, like for their promotions and stuff like that.
Voiceovers?
Not really voiceovers. Like she was doing like vocals, you know, she was, I don't want to say the name of the station right now, but she'll say the name of the station and like a nice voice like that. There'll be like
sexy voice.
Yeah. so there's a name for that. And she did a lot of audio work for them.
Mm.
And I know a lot of DJs do that as well. It's not necessarily like traditional DJing only. So radio has a lot of work for DJs, but I know it's extremely cutthroat. It's a very tough industry to get into, and it doesn't always pay very well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always about the money. It's about reputation, about making contacts.
Sometimes too.
She met a lot of celebrities, a lot of big people, you know, big name people.
Oh, that's good, man.
Working there, right? So it's pretty cool. Some of them are really nice. They'll approach you and they'll be more like personal with you. Some of them just like won't really pay attention to you.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you learn who to talk to. Number 11, affiliate marketing.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
It is. You can make money off of Amazon. Literally, if you have like a website or a YouTube channel, you can post links of the gear that you use or the products that you use. If people really like to follow you and watch all your videos, they're interested in what you use, right?
Yeah.
So you can literally get a cut of
the sale,
literally.
Yeah. So for example, when you go on our website and there's an article about one of our posts, one of our episodes, let's say we spoke about a certain type of gear, we'll also link to that gear if you want to purchase it, whether it's Amazon or anywhere else. But rule of thumb, it's better to be transparent about it and say, hey, by the way, we're an affiliate of that website or product or company. So if you want to support us, but you don't feel like donating extra money, how about just click that link and purchase that product from that link specifically, and we'll get a percentage. This way you don't pay extra. You get the same product. It's the same website. And we'll just make a few extra dollars.
Yeah, literally. It'll help us support us, and it'll keep us from making more videos for you guys.
Yeah, it'll keep us able to bring you better content, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it, really.
I think there's one more. You can pull a suet.
What do you mean by that?
And go out in the public and play.
Well, that's live. Just performance, right? Just doing something unique, something.
Yeah.
There's always something crazy like that you can do.
You can pull out your hat and then get people to pay you to. But that's just something I thought of.
Well, yeah, like doing something unique, creative like that. I mean, there was nothing like that before he did it. He literally, Suat, this DJ, just created this mobile rig where he just goes and like runs around in the public and just DJs, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, it's cool concept, man. Really funny to watch.
Very good to market yourself like that if you are actually very like, if you know how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but there we go. That's it.
That's it.
This is our list. And thank you very much for joining another episode of The Clever DJ. And we'll see you in the next one.
See you next one, guys. We'll be right back.